extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Good morning. It's time for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. This program will improve the quality of your life through a system called resonance repatterning. And now, here's your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth.
Welcome to Living in Tune, Turn Your Problems into Joy. Today, we'll be exploring a subject that's touched many people's lives. It's been estimated that there may be as many as 80 to 90% who have suffered from abuse, physical, verbal, or sexual. Unfortunately, the scars left on the mind from this kind of childhood experience are deeply grooved, and in spite of long-term therapy, most people who have gone through abuse are left with long-term depression, physical symptoms, and inability to have fulfilling bonded relationship with their partner or spouse, pain, and often a feeling of not being able to function in the world. In our Living in Tune show with Joseph Chilton Pierce on January the 14th, and with Dr. Ray Castellino and Mary Jackson on January 21st, we learned about the ideal bonding and brain-heart development that occurs in the womb and directly after birth. And I'll be interviewing Jean Liedloff on February the 18th, a woman who lived with the Yacana Indians in the jungles of Venezuela, concerning the importance of the first year of life, the in-arms phase of bonding with the mother. Now, in trauma and abuse, this natural development through bonding often doesn't happen, and it leaves the person without the neural pathways for living a fulfilled life. When I was first developing resonance repatterning back in the late 1980s and early 1990s, clients who had been abused, both men and women, came to me for help. Using the muscle checking tool, which gives us the ability to access the autonomic nervous system and discover very quickly what the real unconscious issues and patterns are, along with the resonance repatterning method for creating new neural pathways, it was extraordinary seeing how many of my clients felt transformed by this system of self-healing, and often it was in weeks or months, not even in years. One lady who couldn't get out of bed before the early afternoon was up and about and back at work. Another lady in her late 20s who couldn't leave her abusive home came in after a third session to say she had her own place and was ready for a new life. A businessman whose blood pressure was 210 over 190 and no medication was able to shift it, even a few points, phoned from his doctor's office after his second session to say that his blood pressure was normal. Many other resonance repatterning practitioners or their clients have reported the same kind of beneficial results. Now, over the years, many people with a history of abuse have shared their story with me. And often these stories of horror and pain, stories of years of trying to get help, but with little or no change in how they felt within themselves. Stories of being on the verge of suicide. And then how receiving sessions in resonance repatterning and doing sessions on themselves created the change from the inside out, sometimes immediately, sometimes slowly, session by session. Today, I'll be talking with two extraordinary women. They'll be sharing their story of hope and inspiration. Our intention today is to talk about abuse, the healing that is possible that doesn't have to take a lifetime, and the hope that each person who has been abused longs to have, that the inner pain can be healed. You can have the life you yearn for. And the two ladies today will share the process that so many others have received, resonance repatterning, have experienced for themselves. The first person is Tabitha from England. She started her journey of healing by studying resonance repatterning 8 years ago and is now becoming a certified practitioner and moving into doing this work professionally. So welcome, Tabitha. Are you on the air?
I am. Hello.
You are. Wonderful. Well, it's just wonderful to have you with us today. So, Tabitha, if you feel okay with this, would you share a little of the kind of abuse that you experienced?
Okay. The first thing was I was adopted, which is trauma enough in itself.
Yes.
And I was I experienced pretty much the full spectrum of abuse from my stepfather. So there was quite minor sexual abuse, but a lot of of beating and verbal abuse, sort of bullying, constantly being put down. And that went on from the age of 4 until I was 24.
Yeah.
So yes, and really, just I think by I kind of fought against it. My spirit was pretty strong, but by the age of 8, it was just like I kind of died inside and just sort of carried. I was just went through the motions, but
yes.
I kind of wasn't really there anymore.
Yes, and your mother wasn't able to protect you.
My stepfather had started off by beating her, and I think it's quite a common thing that children try and protect their parents, so I kind of acted as a decoy.
So basically, he also worked when he beat you, he didn't beat her so much.
No, exactly. And,
yes.
And she also worked as a nurse, and I think she was, because also I was adopted, I think she was afraid that I would be taken away from her, so
yes.
It was kind of, she kind of waded up, I imagine, and kind of
yes.
just put up with it. At least she was, we were together.
Yeah, yes. So then, often then as children, when we've had this unresolved abuse, there are often multiple symptoms then as adults. And how did you experience the effect of this abuse on your life?
From the age of 8, I actually started drinking, which is quite a young age, and smoking from the age of 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered drugs when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So really the only time I ever felt even slightly alive or confident was when I was drunk. The rest of the time it was as if I was in a straitjacket. I was just too, almost too terrified to breathe or express myself in any way. One of the other elements of the abuse was I'd been locked in a cupboard under the stairs by my hair for sort of hours on end, because my stepfather just didn't know how to handle a kind of full of life 5-year-old. So I think that my whole system had kind of held those patterns in place.
Yeah.
So I was just pretty sort of shut down. I couldn't really connect with anyone. It was like there was a wall between me and everyone else. So I couldn't really have intimate relationships. Well, I could have them, but they weren't healthy. I just kept attracting quite damaged men who had probably been abused themselves.
Yes.
Alcoholics,
yeah.
You know, bullies, basically. And I would reject relationships in which the men were genuinely loving me. I just didn't know what to do with those, really.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And what about depression?
Yeah.
And that's something. It sounds like that was that. Were you conscious of being depressed?
I was conscious of wanting to die pretty much every day.
Mm.
I think I'd forgotten what it was like to even want to be alive. My mother had cancer from from when I was 19 until 28. So part of me was just staying alive to look after her. And then when she died, I inherited quite a bit of money, and I eventually started going into therapy.
Yes. Yes.
So.
And
yeah,
any physical problems that came up?
I had a lot of skin problems, which I think would you know, it could have been to do with sort of rage, not being able to express the anger or shame.
That's right.
I think just after my adopted parents died, I actually had a slipped disc when I was 28, which is, I think I just kind of had enough, and I had to then sort of deal with the issues as to why I'd had a slip disc at such a young age.
Yes. And did you get any help, I mean, before you started resonance repatterning?
From the National Health Service, I was, obviously offered antidepressants, which I think I tried them for a week, and they just had no effect. So I kind of self-medicated for about a year, and then I tried psychotherapy. I tried a lot of different things. I was living in an area where there was a lot of complementary medicine available. And what was helpful was that, to have someone listen to me non-judgmentally.
Yeah.
But I didn't really feel any particular benefit. Apart from I kind of had a very, very well rehearsed story, so I could communicate or make some sort of sense as to what had happened to me.
Yes.
And acupuncture massively helped.
Mm.
But because I still had the sort of the abusive patterns in place, I would feel, you know, amazing after the sessions. And then I would just sabotage it by drinking again. So, I didn't really get anywhere.
Yeah, so that's very interesting, isn't it? You know, the psychotherapy, at least having a human being who is empathetic and listening is helpful.
Yeah.
And the acupuncture, which balances out the energy, but doesn't necessarily get to the core of those patterns and shift your resonance with those patterns.
No.
Yeah, that's interesting that you had those two. So Tabitha, then, how did you hear about resonance repatterning?
It was actually while I was lying on the acupuncturist's table. He became a friend of mine, and he was aware that he'd worked with me extensively, but I just had an inability, it seemed, to experience joy. He was even kind of lightly making fun. You know, I was just, it was almost like I was addicted to being depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned that his partner had started training in well, it was then holographic repatterning. And it was just something in me just kind of switched on. As soon as I heard about it, I went all the way up to Scotland, to Edinburgh, and did the whole of the initial series of training. And yeah, it was just like I finally, as soon as I started, I knew that it was, I'd found what I needed.
Amazing. Really. So just hearing the name.
Yeah.
And you just said, I have to go and study this.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah. I just had a sense, and then as soon as I'd, just all the way through the, I think pretty much every seminar I ever attended, I was chosen to be the kind of to demonstrate,
yes,
parts of the process, and I just felt
so. We'll come back to that in a moment because we just need to take a break right now, and then we'll come back in a moment.
It's about your journey, long way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, hosted by Reiki Master Phyllis Lei Forimoto, brings to the Seventh Wave Network this worldwide human art form. Join Phyllis every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time as she shares her experiences from around the globe and helps you to understand the effects of living in conscious relationship with the energy of Reiki. Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
The break, Tabitha, and we're talking, for those who may be just tuning in, we're talking about abuse, and Tabitha is sharing her experience and the effect of resonance repatterning. And Tabitha, you were saying that you took all the seminars, and you must have been very vulnerable. So how was it for you? What was your experience of taking the seminars?
Almost immediately, I felt really totally supported. It felt like such a warm loving environment. I felt like I could sort of say or be anything, and I wouldn't be judged. Mm-hmm. That actually the healing that I'd given up hope of ever receiving. I mean, I tried seemingly everything. Was, you know, it felt like it was finally available.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And you were saying earlier that every seminar you went to, the teachers in the seminars always muscle check who to demonstrate a session on. And you were saying earlier that you would always get chosen. Teacher would always muscle check to work on you.
Yeah.
And you know, I actually remember when I was teaching in Spain once, and a group of you from England came to attend that class, and I didn't know any of you. I'd never met you before, and I also muscle checked to give you a session.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
I do.
It was a very powerful one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. It was years ago, but I always held it in my memory. Yeah. And did you also have sessions as well as taking the seminars?
I've a lot of sessions and a lot of self sessions as well.
Yes. So this is the amazing thing, isn't it, with the residuary patterning, that you can do sessions on yourself, receive the sessions, and that even in the seminars, there's very intensive healing as well as the learning that's going on all together.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just beautifully put together, I think.
So Tabitha, what began to happen then at this point?
I remember in the first seminar, it checked up that I had to be demonstrated on, and it was just a statement. I am lovable. I wasn't resonating with that, and just as a result of that resonance shift, just kind of it all snowballed. And I would say over a period of about 2 years, it was like all the sort of the fears and the illusions and all the sort of non-coherent patterns were all just sort of shed in a way. Mm-hmm. And I became someone I had absolutely no idea I could be. I'd gone from someone who was almost mute in social situations and almost autistic to someone who was a confident performer. I went to circus school.
Oh.
I trained for a year, and I sang on a trapeze and actually performed comedy, which for someone who'd had a history of depression, I had no idea I was capable of it.
Wow.
And I was able to do confident public speaking in front of 300 people, and then went on to teach dance and drama and voice.
My goodness me. So, and did you know you had all these talents?
No, I remember as... Before all the abuse really kicked in, I remember being about four or five, and always, you know, loving dressing up and being quite sort of gregarious.
Yes.
But then it just, you know, because it had been so many years of having all of that kind of shut down, I'd almost forgotten. But it felt very natural at the same time.
You know, it's so interesting that so many people say that the change is so natural they almost don't even notice it happening. It's like
you're
just becoming back to who you naturally are.
Yes.
And it's like when other people say, oh, you've really changed, it's like, oh, I have. And it's like, oh, yes, I used to be different.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it just immediately happened in one or two sessions then.
No, I mean each session, I felt better, definitely.
Yes.
And even now, it's quite difficult to even, I can remember that these things happened to me, but I don't know. In a way, it's like it happened to someone else.
Yes, it's the story.
Yeah.
You can just, you know, there's an objective place then. And what about the panic attacks you used to have? Do you remember the session when those began to go?
Yes, actually, that just shows that the system is so amazingly designed that you know, anyone can use it, really. I was actually supporting another student. He was giving me a session, and it happened to be on panic attacks. And that, you know, I'd had them on and off over all my life, but they were particularly virulent at that point. And we just did a quite a simple repattern, the negative thoughts repatterning, and it checked up. I had to resonate with. I breathe, I smile, and tell myself I'm safe. And as a result, the panic attacks, I still had the symptoms, but I've never had a full-scale panic attack since.
Ah.
It was just one simple statement from a student.
Is that amazing? And he was a new student, I think.
Yes,
you told me
exactly,
once.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I was supposed to be the one supporting him. And so.
Yeah. And you know, that's so amazing, too. You know, you can have a new student who's kind of struggling and a bit confused, and then they just muscle check exactly which statement you need to resonate with, and something changes.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing. So it was over 2 years or so that you began to just keep on changing. So basically the difference with the acupuncture was that you didn't go back to the alcohol?
I stopped completely for about a year.
You stopped the resonance repatterning?
I stopped all the sort of, I suppose, naughty things that I was doing, all the sort of addictive things that I just stopped them all completely.
Yeah.
In order to go to circle school, and I was receiving sessions throughout that process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so that must have been a huge change then, that you were able to actually get off all the addictive substances.
Yeah, but it was easy because I had such hope, and I was just so passionate about the kind of what was now possible for my life that they just seemed irrelevant in a way.
Wonderful.
And I occasionally drink now, but it's in a sort of, it's with friends and it's in a celebratory way. It's not to sort of numb out or
Amazing. So the power of hope. You know that you can see then that people get into being addictive if they've lost that sense of possibility.
Yeah. And if they're disconnected from either their child part or you know, whatever you want to call it, source or spirit.
That's right.
If it becomes too painful to connect with that.
Yes.
Then that's where all the addictions come in, to kind of fill that emptiness with, and it's actually impossible to fill with anything but spirit.
That's right. Wonderful. And what was the most difficult part of your self-healing, Tabitha?
Probably accepting what had happened, accepting that I was never going to have a better past. And this took the longest, was actually letting go of punishing my parents by being depressed, being a failure, just kind of being a living example of the effects of the abuse.
Mm.
And, you know, finally letting go of all of that, blaming them and actually just choosing to be happy and to be fulfilled and to get on with what I wanted to do and to support other people with that.
Wonderful. So and in terms of the present problems in your life, do you kind of find that you're able to kind of handle those problems?
Yeah, I mean, that was something that I did become disillusioned for a while because I thought, God, if I do enough sessions, then my life will become really easy and I won't have any problems anymore.
Yeah.
And I finally realized that what changed was my relationship to my problems. Now I feel completely equal to any challenge. I feel like anything could happen and I can handle it.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yes, you know, it's not about being without problems in life. There are always these little challenges, aren't there?
Yeah.
But the main thing is that we have the resources within ourselves to handle, handle it.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what the little child did not have. There were no resources to handle that kind of extraordinary situation with your stepfather.
No.
Yeah. And do you remember any particular repatternings or modalities that most helped you?
I would say that the modality that had the most impact was something called Katsugan, and my body would just shake for hours and hours, just releasing all the tension and the stored trauma, really, just shaking.
Yes. Yeah, so for those who are new, Katsugan is like an inner directed movement. It's like this impulse from inside us. And that your body knew how to release that stored trauma.
Yeah,
through the shaking. Incredible. Yes, this is the release of energy that your sympathetic nervous system mobilized for your survival. But then, of course, it gets blocked in the body. And so this amazing shaking releases that mobilized energy. Yeah. So, Tabitha, what vision do you have for your future?
A lot. I would mainly I want to work with others. I want to work with children primarily, to empower children. And I'd love to work with people in prisons, with paedophiles, with any form of sex offenders, rapists, people who society have just kind of shunned. Just to give them a sense of what I got initially was just a sense that they are lovable. I used to feel evil, which now is ridiculous, but just to be a loving presence for them, and also to work with people with creativity, with all forms of creative self-expression, and write a book about it.
Wonderful, wonderful. So that the fact that you used to feel evil, so you're recognizing that these perpetrators, they're also feeling in agony.
Yes, absolutely.
They're also feeling the evil. That your stepfather was just out of control.
Yeah, and
he didn't have the support to move through his patterns of abuse.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And has the shame and the worthlessness and the guilt, has that gone, or does that still come up for you?
No, it's just gone. Well, I mean, it didn't just go. It took a few sessions for it to go.
A few sessions, that's not too bad, is it?
No, I mean, I know I'm not perfect, but I kind of accept that I'm not perfect, and I'm much more gentle with myself.
Yes, yeah.
And I just know that I'm absolutely okay now. There's definitely room for growth.
Yes.
But I'm fine where I am now.
Wonderful, thank you, yeah. So, the gift and the problem. We've only got a minute here. Have you found the gift of your experience?
The gift, I think, was that if it hadn't been so bad, I wouldn't have been motivated to transform and to experience such joy and be able to have first-hand experience to be able to work with others, just direct empathy.
Yes. And you have the relationships you want now?
Yes, that's another thing. Just for the last 2 years, I've been with someone who we deeply love each other, and I feel utterly accepted.
Oh.
And we can just play together, and it's wonderful. I feel very, very privileged.
Gosh, Tabitha, I just feel so moved by you and your story. It just brings tears to my eyes.
I'm just so grateful to you that you developed it, because I'm pretty confident I wouldn't be alive now if it wasn't for it. That's not being dramatic. That's the truth.
Yes. Well, you've had an amazing journey, and I'm just so happy what you represent for other people who've gone through these terrible experiences. That there's hope for them as well.
Yeah.
So those who want to contact Tabitha, she does proxy sessions, phone sessions, or if you're in the UK, in-person sessions. And her phone number is 011, if you're outside the UK, 441647-432877. And her email is Tabitha, TABITHACROOK, at yahoo.co.uk. Tabitha, thank you so much for sharing and for the inspiration you brought for all of us.
Thank you.
And good luck with your wonderful work with prisons, with children, with creativity, and with writing your book. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Tabitha.
It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this! Hey, guys, move closer! That's it! Girl, I am not leaving!
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. And the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
April Smith Gonzalez. April has just graduated from medical school, a feat in itself and not something her therapist believed was possible. So welcome to Living on Tune, Dr. April Smith Gonzalez.
Well, I'm not a doctor yet.
Oh, you're not, but you graduated.
I'm going to graduate actually in June.
Well, this is
so very close.
Preparation for your graduation. I want to congratulate you anyway. It's amazing that you've done that. So, April, you must have gone through a lot of work on all levels to reach this point of graduating in June as a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can share with us where your story started and share a little bit of your background and the abuse you experienced.
Okay. Well, the first kind of inkling that I had that there was anything really wrong with me, so to speak, when I was 29, I hit a very deep depression in my life, and I didn't know how to get out of that hole that my system had kind of gotten itself into. It was my first year of marriage, my first marriage, hopefully my only marriage.
Yeah.
It was right after 9/11. My grandfather had died. There were so many stressors in my life in the preceding 2 years leading up to that time and that age. And I had just gotten my master's degree very soon before that, and then got a job, then lost a job. You know, so very, very many things kind of all came up at the same time.
Yes.
And my system just started to shut down completely. Mm. My body was shutting down. I couldn't get out of bed for weeks at a time and couldn't function.
Mm.
The only thing I would do, the only thing I would get out of bed to do is teach piano lessons. Because
mm-hmm.
I loved the kids, and I loved to get up and play with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so after about 3 or 4 weeks of that, a friend of mine who was learning repatterning, she called me and knew there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so she offered her services to me free at the time because she was still a student
mm-hmm.
and learning the process and knew that she had something that would help me. And I'm so grateful that she did and spoke up and offered, and I took her up on it, too, because it actually got me to go to the doctor and get some help that way and also get to the therapist, get some help that way, and continue with repatterning sessions
yes.
to get some help.
Yes. And so were you conscious that you had been abused as a child?
At that point, no. I didn't start having the memories of the things that had happened to me when I was very little. I was 2 when the abuse began, and it kind of went on with like 2 different perpetrators until I was about 7.
Mm.
We even moved to a different state, and there was a new perpetrator in the new state. So it kept going, and then finally at about age 7, it stopped, thankfully.
So these perpetrators were not family members? Then?
Not family members in any way.
Mm. And your parents didn't know what was happening?
Did not have a clue. And to this day, since I've told them some of the things that had happened, they're in complete disbelief because they were very strict parents.
Mm-hmm.
Very good parents, took very good care of me in so many ways, but their back was turned for just a few seconds, which is all it takes for something to happen sometimes, and the wrong person in the right place.
Yes, and so this was then a perpetrator who continued the sexual abuse then?
Yes.
The sexual abuse.
Yes.
And how is this person able to keep on doing this with these very strict parents who were taking care of you?
Well, he would find opportune moments when they were not around, and they trusted him because he was a family friend, the first perpetrator. The second perpetrator was also a family friend that kind of held a position in our congregation of our religious community, and so they were trustworthy people on the outside. And unfortunately, my parents didn't realize at the time that maybe they weren't so trustworthy. They weren't.
And you didn't tell them?
I couldn't. I think I tried a couple of times when I was very little.
Mm-hmm.
And I have memories of trying to tell my dad of things that were going on. And I remember being punished a couple of times because I was speaking at a time when I shouldn't have been speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to open up and trying to tell him what was going on in a 2-year-old and 3-year-old way.
Yes.
And he didn't quite understand.
Yes. And even as a 7-year-old, you couldn't communicate with him.
Yeah. By that point, there had been so much abuse from the other perpetrator that this new situation was, I think I remember the feeling was, here we go again.
Yes.
Things never change,
and
I couldn't really, at that point, couldn't talk about what had gone on, because I also didn't have conscious memories of anything earlier that had happened, so
kind of numbed it out.
Yeah, I mean, I even went so far as to dissociate and not even be present. When these things were happening. So I didn't really have conscious control at that point of being able to talk about it or tell
anybody. So with dissociating, is that the same then, would you say, as multiple personalities, where you kind of fragment yourself?
And there's a couple different types of dissociation.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, I think, runs a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You start, mild dissociation is just a feeling like you're out of your body, looking down on a situation, to the extreme dissociation where you dissociate so much that your psyche fragments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was at, is my psyche had fragmented, and I didn't even know that had happened.
And that happened as a child, you think?
Absolutely.
And so you weren't even aware of having these different kind of personality types, or what some people call their different children.
Right.
You weren't even aware that you had these kind of different aspects of yourself.
No, not a clue. And I got the first inkling of it when I was working on the depression, because I had memories of being little and talking in a baby voice. When I was about 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember getting in trouble for talking in a baby voice and that sort of thing. And I, now looking back, no doubt that was my little children trying to express themselves and work out this whole situation.
Yes. And did you become conscious of the different children as an adult?
Yes. Through my work with resonance repatterning, for one thing, with the earlier experience part of the repatterning process, I would have memories come up that I didn't have a conscious memory of.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very scary initially to me. But then I talked to a friend of mine. I had made a friend like 2 years prior, right before all the depression hit, who happened to have multiple personalities, and I helped her with my skills with repatterning because I was just learning it and I was mm-hmm. a student, and so I kind of passed along to her what my friend had done for me. And through working with her, I started to see patterns in myself of things that might fit, and then all of a sudden it all came out and came up.
And then you just had conscious memory.
And I started to have the conscious memories
come
flooding back.
mm.
When I was about 30 to 31.
Yes. So it's very interesting that with these trauma, that trauma occurs when you don't have the resources to handle and resolve a threatening situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then these non-coherent frequencies of the memory imprint and the highly charged emotion and the adrenaline, the fight-flight response. And it has this enormous impact, which is very interesting that for you it was just like, the only way I can survive this is to completely space it out altogether,
mm-hmm.
lose all memory of it. Yeah. Now, what's interesting then with the trauma so often then is that a similar situation in the present can reactivate the same past response.
Yes.
So it's as though it's happened yesterday. Is that something that you experienced where things in the present would kind of reactivate things?
Very much so.
Mm.
And going through medical school has been an interesting experience because there are times when... And it's more when I'm interacting with people. It's more in relationship
mm-hmm.
than any other type of situation. You know, like I can be in surgery and not have a problem. The physical trauma doesn't trigger anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in relationship, and it's how someone speaks to me.
Uh-huh.
And there's a certain trigger with a certain way someone speaks to me. And I feel myself dissociating, and I feel myself... going into this natural response for my system.
Uh-huh.
And that's when my awareness kicks in mm-hmm. and I go, oh, wait a minute. We don't have to go there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We've dealt with that. This is
mm-hmm.
time to move forward.
And what's the kind of way that they speak to you that triggers it?
Say it again?
And so it's the way they speak to you that will trigger
Correct.
You to go into that dissociated state.
Correct.
And what is the way they speak to you?
Often it's a very harsh, sharp
mm-hmm.
Type of tone of voice.
Yeah.
It may not even be what they're saying.
No. And was that similar to the perpetrator?
Actually, no. It's similar to my father.
Yeah.
And the response to when I was telling him.
Yes.
You know, and I got in trouble and got punished and
yes.
spoken to kind of forcefully.
Yes, so that's a big thing for people to be aware of, that sometimes it's when you can't communicate to the person who is your caregiver, that is in some
mm-hmm.
ways the bigger trauma.
And for me, it definitely was.
Yeah.
The abuse itself, on a physical level, I work with issues there, but mental and emotional, spiritual is all the response to what happened.
Yes.
The response to my attempts to communicate.
That's right. And I remember working with somebody who'd been abused, and she was actually raped by a gang of teenage boys, 17, 18-year-olds, and she went home, knew that she could not communicate it to her parents because if she did, the father would go and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And later, when she was grown up, she told her parents, and the father said, well, it was lucky you didn't tell me because I would have killed them. And she said, that's why I didn't tell you, you know. But the thing was, she then had, that was the trauma, that she couldn't communicate with her own caregiver to resolve the situation with love and with communication.
Right.
Because his response was going to be totally inappropriate, and you got exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did resonance repatterning then help you to resolve this old trauma?
one of the big things for me is it gave me a tool that I could use for myself
mm-hmm.
in learning to do the process for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had something that I could do mm-hmm. about how I was feeling and yeah. what was going on.
Yes, in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So it really gave you that sense of control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did you do long sessions or short sessions?
I've done both. You know, depending on what's going on, particularly if something keeps coming up several times within the week,
yeah.
I know I'm due for a long session.
Mm-hmm.
But in the moment, sometimes I can catch it very quickly and yeah. just simply do a modality in that moment.
Yes.
And the modality does what it needs to do.
Yeah.
And I get a new belief in my head that I want to have there.
Mm.
And we switch and life is good.
Yes. And so for people who might be new to this show, we have all these wonderful resonance repatterning books where you can identify exactly what is the belief that's involved with the issue or the new belief that you need to have. And then the modality is a self-healing tool that puts energy into your system. It could be breathing or color or sound or light or movement or an energy contact, an acupuncture contact that we learn in the seminars. And again, you can use the muscle checking tool, on, off, our strong, relaxed response of the muscles to find out exactly which modality you need. And April, did you come up with any particular modalities that you found that were really helpful?
Well, breath seems to really work well. Many of the different breathing modalities come up for me a lot.
Yeah.
I've had asthma since I was a young child.
Uh-huh.
And so breath is one of those challenges that my system seems to have on a regular basis.
Yes.
So the breathing modalities really kind of get me centered
mm-hmm.
and get me connected
yes.
back to life and to what is good and energizing.
Mm. Yeah. And so again, that's interesting, the asthma coming up for you,
mm-hmm.
That in terms of the acupuncture, and we have a couple of seminars on the meridians and the five elements of Chinese acupuncture, and asthma is very much associated with the metal element, with the father energy,
mm-hmm.
with breath, of course, and that feeling of connection to life. So, yes, yeah, so amazing then that your muscle checking knows to go to that place to resolve what's going on in terms of the energy of your system.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you, again, when we go through these traumas, there can be many different kinds of symptoms that come up for us. Mm-hmm. Did you have symptoms?
Other than mostly the asthma, and I have battled depression off and on throughout my life
mm-hmm.
and didn't really know what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. I would go through periods of very deep depression and then just snap out of it.
Yes.
Which to me says, you know, I had parts that are taking over, parts that were stronger that were taking over
mm-hmm.
at some point.
Yes. And the depression, was it associated with like a void or was it more like an anger behind it?
The sensation that I remember the most is just a complete body fatigue.
Yeah.
Just no energy to move, no energy to fight, no energy to move forward in any way.
Mm.
And now, looking back, I know that there was a lot of anger
mm-hmm.
that was repressed.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to stuff it down because I would get very frustrated when I was in this depressive state and people would try to get me to do things.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of frustration and anger at that point.
Mm. Yeah, so again, it's like the system wants to heal itself, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it wants us to know what's going on so we can resolve it. And so you can really hear that complete... It's like no motivation, no ability to just have your energy and move it where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously comes out of that kind of abuse, or it can come out of that kind of abuse. Yeah. And so, April, you also then, you studied the resonance repatterning.
Mm-hmm.
And did it take you long to kind of be able to use it And you would, like the first, there's the empowering seminar, which is the first one-day seminar.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to use it straight away, or did it take you some time to be able to help?
Yeah, I actually, when I first started taking classes, we didn't have the empowering class yet.
Mm-hmm.
We had fundamentals, mm-hmm. Which is a weekend course. And from that first weekend, the first day of the class, I was using the modalities and using the process from day one. In fact, my husband and I went to dinner that night because he came with me to the seminar but didn't take the seminar, so he was all alone all day, and he was cranky that night. And I immediately started doing a modality because I didn't want to have a bad night.
Yes.
With him being cranky and speaking sharply to me. So I immediately used a modality and shifted what was going on in that moment, and have been amazed ever since at how simple and easy and quick this process can be.
Yes. And how long did it take you to feel that you had resolved the past abuse?
Actually, it's only been about the last year that I finally feel like I'm no longer dissociative. That I no longer have parts. I've finally integrated.
Yes.
And I mean, the parts are still there.
It's been quite some time then for you.
What's that?
How many years then has it been for you?
Oh, goodness. 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
That I've been working with this process and working with having the memories, processing the memories,
mm-hmm.
and working through the parts that were holding on to the memories.
Yeah.
And trying to integrate them into the greater whole of my psyche,
mm-hmm.
and it's been a process.
Yes,
and quite a process. But I was very determined to get better.
But and you felt that residuary patterning was the way to do it. I mean,
it was definitely a big piece of it. I mean, at one point, I was taking medicine from the doctor, and under the doctor's care, mm-hmm. I was seeing two therapists, and talking with my friend who was doing resonance repatterning,
mm-hmm.
and also learning the process and doing the process for myself.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of work, but I was determined to get better.
Yes.
Because I didn't like
very,
where I
very
was.
Intensive. Very intensive.
Yeah.
And you can see how resonance repatterning works with the medical and with the therapeutic.
Yeah.
So it's not, it doesn't always have to just be one or the other. It's mm-hmm. like they're all, they can all work together to support
certainly.
The healing.
Certainly.
Yes.
And in fact, my therapists have commented, both of them, because actually with the one therapist that I had at school, when I started going back to school before medical school at the university, I got a therapist at school because I wanted someone on campus in case I was having issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, I actually demonstrated to her what I did mm-hmm. with resonance repatterning, and she was astonished mm-hmm. at the change, the visible change in me. From the beginning of what of the process to the end of the process. And I literally, it was a 20-minute session where I just picked a few statements and did a couple of modalities. It was not a long pattern. And she was visibly amazed.
And that she could actually see the change in you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's always impressive, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, we see that in the seminars every single session. It's just the color, the light, the energy,
mm-hmm.
everything. Just the person kind of has that glow after a session.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, wonderful. And what about your future? What do you envision for your future, April?
Well, I envision having a wellness practice.
Mm-hmm.
I've applied to some family medicine programs and just got a phone call Friday that hopefully I'm getting into the program that I really, really wanted. I've done so many sessions about it. Hopefully that's where I go.
Yes.
But what I envision is having a great family practice where I can use and integrate all different types of therapy
mm-hmm.
and healing modalities
mm-hmm.
And modern medicine for the best possible result for my patients.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you've had a good pre-medical training, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, it's like it's a shame not. Do you think that it would help medical doctors take resonance repatterning before they go to medical school?
Oh, absolutely.
And you used it when you were going to medical school.
Yeah, very much so. I, you know, when I would be studying, mm-hmm. and our tests and study schedule was so grueling. Mm-hmm. I would often use modalities as I was studying to keep my mental faculties up and functional because it was so tiring,
yeah.
you know, 12 and 14 hour study days and lectures, and it was just, it was a lot.
Yes.
I used a lot of essential oils mm-hmm. as modality and mm-hmm. and would stop and do maybe a couple of statements and a couple of modalities if I was feeling foggy.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, April, thank you so much for sharing yourself and your story, and it's my hope that, these both of these stories of Tabitha and April, and these are two of just many, many stories, that will really give people a sense of hope that anything is possible. And, you know, the lesson for me is that we don't need to re-experience the morass of our past and the pain of these abuse experiences, that we've experienced the trauma once and that's enough. And resonance repatterning just gives us the means to create this new brain-body neural pathways for the life we want instead of that old life. So when we no longer unconsciously activate those old brain-body pathways, then the abuse experience really, it just becomes a story in the past rather than an ever-present reality. And so thank you again, April.
Thank you for having me, Chloe.
Wonderful.
And thank you for this process. It saved my life more than you will ever know.
Well, I'm just honored that I've been a part of your healing process in this little way and that you're going to be a part of other people's healing process. It's very mm-hmm. wonderful. Yeah. And so next week, on February the 4th, we're going to be having a Jonathan Martin from Vancouver, Canada, talking about healing our animals, healing ourselves, and using resonance repatterning with animals and their owners. And he's going to be sharing his knowledge of the owner-animal connection and the effect of language on animals and how to do telephone sessions with animals. So it's another fascinating facet of resonance repatterning. I've worked certainly with dolphins and dogs and horses and all sorts of things, and it's amazing they get exactly the same results with animals that you can get with human beings or doing the session, doing the work on yourself. So remember, if you're interested, resonancerepatterning.net, and you can listen to these shows, you can upload them to your own website, you can download the transcripts of all the shows. And if you want sessions, we have a list of certified practitioners. And also, if you'd like to study resonance repatterning the way April and Tabitha did, even just taking one or two of the early seminars can really give you an empowering sense that you can shift things on through very quickly, not only just the deep, intense stuff of one's childhood, but even the little things, the little daily issues that come up, that you don't have to be a victim of them. You can move through into the adventure of life. So thank you so much and have a wonderful week, and we'll be with you next week.
It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you...
Thank you for listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. Join your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, next Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network. Today I thought